Lord, we thank you for your presence with us today. We just commit this service to you for your honor and glory. So I ask, Lord, that you would direct in every aspect of this service. We love you, Lord, and thank you for what you are about to do with us today. I greet you in the name of Jesus. It is good to be together this afternoon. It's a very special day in the life of the Waterworks Congregation. Back in January 2021, we had our first service here. Waterworks is a church plant from the Myerstown Congregation. And we sent Brother Jim and Brother Steve Musser to give oversight to the congregation, which they have been doing faithfully. And it became apparent very quickly that it would be nice to have a full ministry team and to have someone else in the ministry. And so that is what leads us today. The steps that we took in preparation for this ordination, we had approvals from the Peaceville Bishop Committee and also the Marystown District back in September of 2021. And then in the spring here, Waterworks from the Council for the Congregation, and they affirmed and blessed our moving ahead with an ordination. On July 19th of this year, I shared the plans with the congregation. And following that, we had our first qualification message was by myself on Wednesday, October 5th. And the second qualification was brought by Earl Merriman on October 16th, which was last Sunday. And following that, we received nominations. And we required that three nominations for a brother to be considered for ordination. And there was two brothers that received sufficient nominations. And they were Jerrell Good and Mike Weaver. Jerrell and his wife Krista, and Mike and his wife Joelle. Filled out doctrinal statements, personal information, full forms, and we reviewed them last Thursday at the district meeting here and reviewed them, and we found that they are both faithful, doctrinally sound, and willing to serve if called. So today we are letting the final choice up to the Lord and asking him to make the decision for us. We look at the two couples and we say they're The order of the service today is as follows. Brother Jim Weaver, pastor here at Waterworks, is going to have the devotional. After that, we're going to have another song led by Lee Weaver. Lee is also a member here at Waterworks. Their song leader today. And then the message this afternoon is going to be shared by Jared Weaver, who serves as bishop in the Marietta district. And after Jared's message, Brother Steve, who serves as deacon here at Waterworks, is going to come and share this message. So, Lord bless each one of you as you take your part.
I don't know about you all, but there's something very refreshing about the gentleman. There is something refreshing about the gentleman. You know, everybody would agree with that, but I think there is a refreshment from praise coming down to heaven. I would like to highlight one verse in response to that picture I just gave. It's in Isaiah 55, beautiful chapter, one verse at the end of Isaiah 55. And after a verse that talks about the rain coming down, the snow coming down from heaven, and giving a refreshment to the earth, making it possible for the seed to bud and so forth, it says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So that is a promise that I think we tend to forget. Paraphrase, God's word will not return void. And like I said, the verse is tucked away in a chapter exploding with truth. It's in a chapter that welcomes or invites everyone to come without money. It's in a chapter that invites everyone to hear diligently and incline your ear. It's an invitation to seek the Lord, return to Him, There's a clarification about God's thoughts, God's ways, so far above our ways, and then the contrast of heaven and earth, so I get it. And then, the amazing promise, God's word will not return void. And this book is just filled with picture after picture of that exact truth. You can go through all the prophets, and the God-breathed, God-inspired word, and doing its amazing, having its amazing effect on taking its course. From all the prophets, you have little picture-esque accounts, like Barak before Jeremiah found Jeremiah's prophecy, ended up getting Jeremiah arrested and Barak arrested, but God's word did not return void. That's not much what he wanted to do. So I found it lost in the temple, read it. Again, God's word did not return void. Ezra, before the captives, expounded the scriptures. God's word didn't return void. Peter at Pentecost preached that amazing message. God's word didn't return void. Philip jumped into an Ethiopian chariot, bouncing along, opened the word, God's word, God's breathed word did not return void. Paul, so many times going and preaching, some in Jew settings, some in Gentile settings, again, God's word did not return void. The results have varied. The results were varied. But in every occasion, God's word didn't return void. So here we are, 2022. Same promise still applies. God's word does not return void. We study it, we apply it, and we proclaim it. God's word will not return void. Thank you, Joel. And Joel and Krista, I think that it's a word for blessing you all. All right, Lord, we're in the culture. You sit here because the church has noticed gifts. Qualifications in you. Part of that is the way you are here before. And in this service, one of you will receive the word, first word, and secret policies. God's word will be heard. I am looking forward to serving whatever the term one God calls. Father, we apply our hearts. You're on the throne, we're not. Your ways, your thoughts are so far above ours, but we confident put all of our faith and our trust in you, and we're asking you to lead us and guide us. Would you just allow your peace to prevail in our hearts as we watch your will unfold to the glory of God.
Join me in singing again into the church, Psalm number 689.
To share the love to you.
Look at how Isaiah responded in the first chapter,
Because I'm afraid we can simply say, well, I'm embracing the call to serve and just to do it. I mean, it's many aspects to it. In the year of the King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne high lifted up, his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain covered his face, and twain covered his feet, and twain his eye. And one cried out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the host of the Lord knew that it was him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And said I, well, it's me, for I am nothing because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then he led the serpents unto me, how they might pull his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar, and laid up my mind out, and said, well, this has touched my lips. And then I made me speak a branch, and I sang first. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send, and who will take care of us? And said, I, your mind is forgiven. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye the evil, understand not, consume ye the evil, understand not. Take your heart of the people's back, take your ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand their heart. And convert and be healed. And said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the seed be wasted without inhabitant, and the house is without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord, having been with them for a while, declared me a great forsaken in the midst of the land. As we consider embracing the call to serve, the first thing we want to notice is we need to embrace the Lord of the call. All of us who use spells, which I think we all do, we know that it's like when you're in a position of place and you're throwing rings and you get to your list of time to answer, and it's a computer trying to respond to what you said. It's somewhat frustrating. So when I answer the phone and I hear a radio, I feel completely different. I'm asking about what can I do, how's it going? You see how response is influenced by who is calling. And we see here the word is before Isaiah. Isaiah is called the Lord, high enough to come. And the ceremony, which would be amazing genius to see in and of themselves, they were crying fully, fully, fully to the Lord as the full purpose for the Lord. And in that scene, Isaiah witnessed, and all of these verses only give a hint of the glory of the Lord. The witness, Isaiah's doctor, heart doctor, he stood in awe of God. He said, my eyes, verse 5, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Moses and Joshua also had the same response as they met the Lord. Take your shoes off your feet. Now your hand is fully grabbed. It's doing all of God. Paul as well mentioned before as well. But the question I have to ask today is, have you encountered the Lord himself? Now, as Christians, we have, but as we think about the Lord calling us in further service, do we stand in awe of the Lord's call? Do we embrace the Lord's call? Are we willing and ready to serve him? Before we can truly embrace the call of service, embrace the Lord of hosts. Any service we render that is not out of love and devotion to him, the recognition of his holiness, is going to fall short in the law of void in the end of Joshua 22. Joshua 22 is Joshua's about the same. The Reubenites and the Jairites and Amphites and the Manasseh back across the Jordan to the land they requested to the men. This is what Joshua commanded them to do. In Joshua 22, verse 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses and the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Just consider embracing the Lord's call. Yes, it is important for them to love and obey. And leading to the Lord, leading to him, and serving him, serving him with all of their heart. As we consider embracing the call of service, especially the young brothers, as the Lord is giving direction today to embrace the Lord and call, love him, obey him, devote your life to him, Grace has the way. Grace has the truth. Grace has the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And fear him, stand before him all in reverence. Honor the King. Embrace the Lord of call. It says, we love him, embrace him, and then fulfill the call of his face on our lives. Second point on the spirit in Isaiah 6 is embrace cleansing and fulfill the call. Notice in verse 5 after Isaiah, witness the call of the Lord. He thanks God, what was he trying to do that? Because I am never the best. I dwell in this people who are being blessed. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah is usually confronted with his own undoings, his own sinfulness, his own pain, lips as he speaks of it. He recognizes being fire broke out. Planes couldn't have stopped. The cattle crew immediately ordered the evacuation of the plane. Cattle started to fill with smoke. But unfortunately, that's when we started to get the luggage, which should be over at the end. And the main second get off the plane before the fuel tank exploded. And the cattle crew was working hard to get it home. Thankfully, we weren't struggling. Only two people were captured by the cattle crew from the plane. The point is, the luggage that wasn't wrong to have was hampering and causing the dangerous situation to the evacuation for those of the people that are trying to get it and for the people behind them. So it is as we embrace unwanted people's call. Maybe it's a hobby or distraction of business or you name it. That may not be wrong in and of itself, but as we focus on the cause, so we cannot afford to be hanging on these things that are endangering our lives and today we call the service. Embrace cleansing to fulfill the call. That's why we're sure to embrace the message of the call. Here in verse 9, notice the word said to Isaiah, go and tell this people. The word tell is what I like to understand as God saying, here's what the message is going to be. Now, obviously, the word spoke to Isaiah throughout the book. Various times he says, the Lord spake unto me, the Lord spake thus to me, the Lord spake by Isaiah, and on and on. Embrace the message of the call. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah would exist if Isaiah had not embraced the message. He has refused to hear God's message and embrace the message. But he embraced the message and then he took to God's people and faithfully delivered that message. Embrace the message of the call, live the message of the call. Turn back to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 is a chapter we often turn to in the hint of giving instruction on training children. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9, the verses I like to look at, actually, verses 4 through 7. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Who's going to stop with the joke and all the detail of how to teach them? But notice, as we are loving the Lord, love the Lord with all heart, soul, and might, then these words is the message. We're going to teach our children to carry the message to our children. We have the first half of our heart. So it is as we consider embracing the message of the call. We must embrace the message before we can take it and faithfully take it to God's people. If we embrace, if we're to embrace the call, we must first embrace the message of the call. God doesn't use perfect people to convey his message. Jesus broken vessels, if you may say that way, or imperfect people. I remember going to church saying this statement many years ago, and I always begin as something like just sort of saying, but God can use his perfect stick for all streams. God, this isn't saying overlook sin, but God can use his perfect stick to draw streams. I never, I hope and pray this, but he's able to do the same thing to me. Not perfectly bring his message. Through you, embrace the message of the call. Before embracing the message of the call, it was a powerful impact, a demonstration of the message. I'm teaching my demonstration to you, the message first, and then bring it to others. And here is that powerful demonstration of the message. And now I'll switch that against impersonal carrying of the message. You can do the internet, I understand, and download the message, download the devotional. And reading the book of church, but they're using your heart. Embracing the message equips us to hear the truth. It prevents contamination of false teaching. We're going to a manual field trip at school, and the person in the future told the teachers and parents that I want your child to be a good bank, a good teller. Well, if I brought them to play with the big curves, the big money. Real currency, and out and continue to bear the truth. Grace is the messenger call and rules unscathed by the Lindsay doctrine.
Numerous times, and people care how much you know until you know how much you care. And so
says, may you embrace the calls that we embrace the people we serve, and we care for them. The song that I wish we had is how much we care. Embrace the people. So this one is a good one. Embrace the eyes and layers of service. I'm not sure if there's another way to say that. You know what I mean? The eyes and the layers of service. So I think you can embrace both. A couple weeks ago, I had a hair with was in church work. I'm not going to sound forward to what we're going to really talk about, but it was a difficult time. It was discouraging. But as we went through that experience, most of us lost together. I'm not serving religion. I'm not doing it anyway. I'm serving the Lord of the Lord. He's called me to this work. I want to embrace the really difficult times. Here in Isaiah 6, there is a fact as the Lord called Isaiah to go. In verse 9, and he said, judge of his people, hear me indeed, but understand not, see me, but perceive not. May the heart of his people fat, and their ears heavy to shut their eyes, lest they see their eyes, and hear their ears, and respond to their heart, and convert them to be healed. And it's like, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the city be wasted without inhabitant, and the house of the man, and the land of the other vessel. And the Lord will be with the man far away, and he will be the same place to God. Isaiah's audience, they lack understanding and perception. Their ears were heavy, their eyes were shut, their heart was not ready for the message. They were not ready to convert, not ready to be healed. Sounds like the time of this audience is going to be raised to comment. Useless to try to bring the message to them. And all the stories on Isaiah's thinking, well, maybe this bringing the message to the place. How long? Maybe just a short time here. But there's the Lord's response. And the message received or service is appreciated. Yet when there's discouraging times, whether our response or any trouble is how to give up. Let's draw attention to two passages about it in Romans. Romans 9 is the first one. Romans 9, we consider a reason for to serve through the eyes and words. Romans 9. Paul is speaking of how the Lord called the Gentiles. So we jump a little bit off of that. Just to go by here in Romans 9, verse 12. Nay, but O man, who are you now when you rise against God? So if any of you have sinned and performed it blasphemy of us, have not the honor of power that we pray, of the same one who made one of us one to honor and another to dishonor? The way the principle in these verses applies to how we serve. Who regards thou the man that applies to God's work? Who reads that for the reason of time? John, what are you doing when you fight against him? Shall the servant say to the master, why is thou being the servant of us? No. He is the father. We are the crowd. Place yourselves in this service about him to work in us and through us as in God's good. He went down from the highest against God. He missed a lot of difficult times. He made a lie wild. So turn to Romans 11. Romans 11. You are going to be right here and understand why. So Romans 11, we're again reminded of who we are serving. Romans 11, verse 33, put this down. Christians that have the wisdom and knowledge of God. How searchable are his judgments and his ways he has to find out? For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? For who hath first given to him and shall be recompensed unto him again? Who's promised it? How say us to be rich which is in God's house. Please do it. Actually, we do it in God's house. We all have a hand standing. So we should bow our heads and know you're God's house.
Isaiah
closes to us as well.
Make it personal. And I really believe that this is where we're at today. It's the Psalm of David. And I think it personally leads this way. Lord, our hearts are not high, nor our eyes lofty, neither do we exercise ourselves in great matters, or in things too high for us. Surely we have behaved and quieted ourselves as a child that is weaned of his mother. Our soul is even as a weaned child. Let the church hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. We want what God wants. We are totally surrendered to his will. And we'll be using a lot today. It's not a game of chance. It is using a lot in the way that the Bible describes it. I remember many years ago when I was chosen by lot, somebody made a comment to me, so it hit you. And I was a little offended. But then later, if you study there in the chapter of Acts, what Brother Ted Steiner is going to read to us here in a bit. In the word, it says, and rock fell on the bias. It literally means it fell from heaven. And I guess it hit me. And so it's of God. It's not of man. It's of God. It's God's rules. I have today two Bibles that are alike. Very difficult to see any differences in them. And I have one lot card. The lot card on the one side reads, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing there is of the Lord. Proverbs 16:33. On the other side, the lot card says, this certifies that there's a blank line for you to fill in after the Lord shows who we have chosen, fill in the brother's name. Was ordained a minister on October 23rd, 2002, for the Waterworks Mennonite Fellowship in Andover, Pennsylvania, and a place for me to sign the lot card. This time I'm going to ask two brothers to come and assist me, and they don't know that I'm going to call on them. They come to talk beforehand. I'm going to ask Brother Michael Hahn, minister from Lichtenstein, to come forward, and also Brother Marlon High, a minister from Mount Hope Congregation, to come and stand here, and I'll give you instructions. Open one of the Bibles while Marlon is not watching, and to place the black card right inside the front cover. Close the Bible again, and then rotate the Bible so you don't even know where it's at anymore. And then you turn your back and allow Marlon to rotate the Bibles further so that there's just absolutely no possibility you know where the black card is at. And then you can come out and Marlon can lay the Bible on the table. While you do that, Brother Ted Steinmark, who serves as bishop of Reading District, is going to come and lead the Acts account.
If you'd like to turn there, you may. It is Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. Acts 1, 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, a number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before, concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man broke the field with the reward of iniquity, falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed in. And it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called the prophet's called Selma, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishop recommended. Wherefore, these men which have come with us all the time before Jesus went in among us, they gave him from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness of the resurrection. And they appointed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place, and he gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the other.
This time we're going to have a prayer of consecration, and I ask for the prayer.
head and tail, trying to put their head gently down here before they were ready. Joel have just made some very serious commitments to the Lord, just to the farmers. So I'll give opportunity to the Lord of this congregation to also commit themselves to them. Receive Mike and Joel with joy. Look upon them as chosen of the Lord and appointed for this important work. Pray for them, manifest for them the full measure of love that the gospel requires. When the word of God is declared, receive it as truth. Seek to obey it, submit yourselves to it, that they may serve you with joy. Acknowledge them as laboring among you in the Lord, admonishing you and teaching you in the way of everlasting life. Esteem them highly for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I ask the Word Works congregation at this time to stand, showing your support of Mike and Joel. Now the rest of you can stand as well, showing your support of Mike and Joel. Support you in everything that we can. We care about you, and we have confidence that you will have a successful ministry. Okay, after the service is closed, Mike and Joel and Chris are going to stay up front for you to come and greet them. Encourage you to do that. So things flow smoothly. I want to see you in the center aisle and the side aisle to come up front, and then go across and out the side aisle over here to my left. So we have a traffic flow. There's not a big jam up here. But I encourage you to come and wish them the Lord's blessing, and let them know that you are praying for them. I would like for their families to come first. Mike and Joelle, just their families, just lose their seat behind. Come first, please, and greet them, and then the rest of us will follow through as well. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a blessing to have you come out and be part of this very important day. This time I'm going to ask Brother Steve Munster to come and give instructions for the meal and blessing on the meal and close with prayer.
I'll do the meal ready, and I want to say thank you to the Myerstown trustees for getting it ready. All of you who are invited to stay for the meal, you can make your way to the back of this side and then back down the steps to the left. Okay, I want to thank you all for coming, and why don't we all stand for a moment. Thank you.